Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pastures. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. His truth and his mercy has endured to the end of this year, 2023. And we rejoice in his goodness. The title of the message this morning is 1159. And I borrowed this title from Glenn Eshelman the evening that Dave Stolz's plan for the teachers and the school board at Glenn Eshelman's art gallery really had an impact on us. Glenn was there showing us his pictures and the drawings of the life of Christ, a lot of them. He said the next one that he's working at or he's going to work at is the title of the picture is going to be 1159. And as he talked about that, what he's going to put on the picture, I thought that would be a good sermon title. And it especially fit with the day of the year that we're in, the last day of the year. Glenn talked about the fact that he believes the coming of the Lord is close, and he believes on God's clock. It's probably 11:59. We don't know that, and I'm not here today to say when Jesus is coming again, because that would immediately make me a false prophet. And so I don't want to put that impression on anyone that we know exactly when he's coming, but we know that he's coming soon, and we know that he could come at any time. And we have evidence in the world around us. We have signs of his coming that indicate to us that it's time for us to be right with God. As I thought about preaching a message today, you know, is it more important talking about the end of the year or the beginning of the year? Ecclesiastes says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And it's a fact that we cannot begin right if we do not end right. And so it's important that today that we even as God's people, that we evaluate our lives and make sure that we are ending this year right if we expect to begin next year right. We cannot begin a new year right as a child of God if we do not take care of things that might need to be taken care of in this past year or in our life. Hebrews says, take heed, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And that's not talking about people in the world. It's directed to the believers. And so the burden of the message is that there would not be among us, anyone that is departing from the living God. That would be very sad. But the scripture gives the warning, and if the scripture gives the warning, then it's important that we take heed lest there be in any of us an evil heart of unbelief in departing from God. I'd like to look this morning at what time is it, and then the fact that time is short, and the third part, that the hour is late. So I asked the question, what time is it? Hosea 10, verse 12 and 13 says, the prophet Hosea says to Israel, and those words are for us today, says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. That's what time it is. Till he come and rain righteousness upon you, ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way and in the multitude of thy mighty men. It's time for us to seek the Lord. It's time for us to trust in him and not in our own ways and in the multitude of our mighty men. I appreciate our heritage. I value and I treasure our heritage. But you know, if we boast of who we are and of our lineage and of just focus on that, and we set ourselves on a pedestal because of what we feel that we have become through our efforts and through our statements of faith. Those things are good. I'm not knocking those things in any way, but if that is what we're putting our trust in, it's time to seek the Lord, not our ways and the multitude of mighty men. I know that we owe a lot of respect to people in the past that have paved a good path for us. But if that's all that we're trusting in, it's not enough. It's time to seek the Lord. What time is it? Isaiah says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let them return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. It's time to seek God while God can be found. It's time to call upon him when he's close, not once he's far away and the door is shut. That's what time it is. Time is actually a gift from God right now that we have the opportunity to call on his name. We don't know exactly how the Holy Spirit works, but when the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, when the Holy Spirit brings conviction to you, it's important that we respond, because we cannot choose when we want the Spirit of God to call us. I've read stories of people already that have turned away from God and later had a desire or, you know, realized their need, but the Spirit was not working. The Spirit was not calling. And that's a terrible place to be at. It's time to seek the Lord while he may be found, while he is near. Why? Because we need to forsake our ways and our thoughts, the wickedness of our ways, our unrighteous thoughts. Because God is offering mercy. God is offering pardon today. He will abundantly pardon. That comes from Isaiah, but it sounds like New Testament language. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. No matter what we have done or where we are, if we seek God when he calls us and respond to him when he calls us, there's pardon. There's abundant pardon. What time is it? It's grace time. Titus 2:11-15. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared, to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. We sang that beautiful song this morning, Amazing Grace. What time is it? It is grace time. There is grace for all men. Not only for a certain race, but there is grace for all men. It has appeared, says here in Titus, has appeared to all men. This is a powerful grace. It saves us. It teaches us how to live. This is what the saving grace does. Grace also causes us to look for that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. As we live in a world that is full of disappointments and full of conflict, let's keep our focus on the return of the Lord Jesus. We are not here to stay. We are waiting, anticipating, longing for the return of Jesus Christ. We are looking for it. It's something that has lived within the hearts of believers ever since Jesus went back to heaven. And those men in white stood there and said to his disciples, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that you have seen go up into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go." And that lives within us today. Verse 15 says, "These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority." Along with the Great Commission, there's something within us that compels us to spread this good news of the grace of God. And I think there's a parallel between the Great Commission and what God told Noah and his family when he brought them out of the ark. He said, "Go forth, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth." They were to populate the earth. And I think there's a comparison or a parallel there with the Great Commission. We as God's children are called to take the gospel into all parts of the world. The gospel is to spread. The gospel is to grow and to multiply. God's people are marked by giving, spreading, and sharing. That's what our life is about. That's what we do in the grace time. We not only experience it ourselves, but we quickly try to help others find it as well, so that they are inside when the door is shut, when the time runs out. Remember, time is a gift that we have to use to seek God. It's time to seek the Lord. Second point is time is short. 1 Corinthians 7, there's a verse there, that verse 29 says, "But this I say, brethren, the time is short." And here Paul is talking about marriage and those that have wives and those that don't have wives and how they use the time. And he uses that as an illustration of how those that have no wives, they can use their time to for the Lord, unhindered or undistracted from what God wants them to do. And there's a lesson there for all of us that we need to consider, that we need to apply. Spiritual concerns, spiritual things must be paramount in our life. We cannot afford to be distracted children of God. We must give the Lord Jesus Christ our full attention. The time is short. We only have a limited amount of time. You see, a bit of it has gotten away from us already. And for a lot of us, a bit of our life has gotten away for us already too, hasn't it? Time is short. What are you going to do with the rest of your life? What's left in the top part of the glass yet? You see, God keeps this veiled from our eyes. We don't know how much has already passed from the top to the bottom in our own personal experience. Some of us probably have a bit more left in the top than in the bottom. Some of us is probably getting close to empty. Time is short. And so what we want to do for the Lord, we need to do it now. If you want to live for the Lord and die for the Lord, die in the Lord, then that's the way you must live now. Not maybe in 5 years or not maybe next month or next week. It needs to start. It needs to happen now. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation. It warns us in Hebrews again. Children of Israel, they hardened their heart. And God warns us not to do that. Time is short. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." There are many things that distract us in life. There are cares of life that we can become so involved in, and they become the primary focus of our thoughts. We need to take care of things of this life. That's true, but let's not allow those things to be paramount in our life. Our lifespan is short. Job describes it that it's swifter than a weaver's shuttle. Job 7, verse 6, and Job 9, 25, he says, "My days are swifter than a post," and it means a runner or those that take a message. My days are swifter than a one that runs a message. And you know, when they used to take messages by foot, carry the messages, they took them as quickly as they could. And Job is saying that our time is getting away from us, is moving faster than that. Moses, the leader of God's people, in Psalm 90, verse 9, says, "We spend our years as a tale that is told." Time is short. And our lifespan is short. Moses also prayed in that same psalm, said, "Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom." When we consider that our life is short, when we acknowledge that our days are passing away swiftly, it helps us to be wise. And it helps us to do some serious thinking and make some good choices. Bible also talks about how short our lifespan is and compares it to like the grass that grows up. It grows up and flourishes, and it's cut down and withers, and we fly away, it says. Let's think then about the fact that the hour is late. It's time to seek the Lord. Time is short and the hour is late. The Bible uses the phrase the fullness of time, and it uses that for different occasions. One of them especially is about when the fullness of time came, that Jesus was born. It's an interesting term to just ponder a bit. The fullness of time, what does it mean when time is full? I think it means just at the right time. It means when the bottom part is full and it's finished. And God has things timed out. He knew things from the beginning. The fullness of time. As we consider the things we see in the world today, those things cannot change what God is doing in our lives personally. And I think that's something that's important for us to remember. We won't talk about that in the end a little bit yet. The fullness of time. But as we see things progressing, we recognize that God has a plan and is fulfilling that plan. The fullness of time. The hour is late. It is the last time, the Bible says in 1 John 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist should come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. We recognize that it is the last time, it is the end of time, because there are many, calls it here, Antichrists. The Apostle John wrote, even now are there many Antichrists. If he wrote that back then, I wonder what he would say today. An Antichrist is simply something that takes the place of Christ. Instead of and in place of. And I know that you know, there, as you look at prophecy about the Antichrist, we think about an individual rising up, but there are many Antichrists today already. Let's be on guard against those, because they are instead of and against and in place of Christ. And if there's something instead of Christ in our life, then Christ cannot be there. If there's something in the place where Christ wants to be, where's Christ going to be? He doesn't have room there. There's a platform that Christ wants to work from, and we cannot give that to someone else or something else. Let's be aware of things that push Christ out of our life. It is the last time. It means it's the fullness of time. It's the end of time. Jesus' disciples came to him with questions about the end times in Matthew 24. Verse 3, it says, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. Verse 11, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Did anything in those verses sound familiar to the environment that we are in today? The hour is late. Wars and rumors of wars. But even in the midst of that, Jesus said to his disciples, see that ye be not troubled. And I like the words of the song that we sang this morning, how often the conflict so turn to that. When pressed by the foe, I have fled to my refuge and breathed out my woe. How often when trials like sea billows roll, have I hidden in thee, O thou rock of my soul. That is where God's people can find refuge, living in the last times, living in the time when the hour is late. And there's wars and rumors of wars. There's many false prophets. When we live in the shadow of this rock, the rock of our soul, even in the midst of conflict, when the foe is pressing on us, and that thought impressed me as well. You know, conflict is pressed by the foe. That can be conflict in the world. It can be conflict in the church or in the family. The foe is the one that presses conflict upon us. We need to run to the refuge and breathe out our woe to him when the conflict is pressed on us. Remember how many times you've found refuge in the past. The woe that you're facing now, take it there and hide in Christ again. Be refreshed again in that rock of ages. In the last time when the hour is late. Romans 13:11 says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. It appears that we know the time. We perceive and we have a perception about the time that we are living in. We're not ignorant of the warnings that Scripture has for us. God has given us indications of what time it is. Knowing the time, seeing these things, we recognize that it's time to wake out of sleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we believed. Our salvation, our ultimate ending work of redemption when we receive a new body and enter into glory, it's getting close. It's very close. It's closer than when we put our trust in Christ at first. It's closer than it was yesterday. The hour is late. Revelation 10, verse 6. I'll start reading verse 5 here. There's an angel here. Says, the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein. Notice the long phrases of what this angel swear by. What was he gonna swear about? It says that there should be time no longer. There will be no more time. You know, time intervenes for us. And as long as there's time, there's still opportunity, there's grace. It's still grace time. But when there's time no longer, there will be no more waiting or no more delay. Time is something that we live with, and we cannot imagine how that will be when there will be time no longer. But this angel makes a point of making this declaration that he's given this opportunity, I guess, to make this declaration that there should be time no longer. Looks like our time ran out. In closing, I'd just like for us to remember again that no matter what the rulers of this world do, how the boundaries of the nations change and where you find yourself, this cannot change what is yours in Christ. And that's something that we need to keep alive within us. It needs to be paramount within us, because it's so easy for us to get politically involved and opinionated about what should happen and what shouldn't happen. That's not for us. We need to remember that no matter how those things change, what's ours in Christ is the same, because Christ's kingdom will never end. We have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We have a kingdom that endures. Let's remember that. Also like to leave a verse with us from 1 Timothy 5, verse 24. It says, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. And this could go with the grace time that we're living in. You know, sin is really what separates us from God. And we have the privilege in time to send our sins before the judgment and have them under the blood of Christ. Or we face, the only other option is to face them someday in judgment before Christ. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. It brings us to God. Today we have the opportunity of sending our sins before the judgment, taking care of things now, clearing things, being free, experiencing the abundant pardon simply by responding to Christ when he calls and while he is near. I would just like to make it plain today that if anyone is here that is not prepared for the new year, there's something that needs to be taken care of before you can start out right. Please take care of it here. Talk to one of the pastors, one of the ministers, or someone before you leave this place and find help. It's not necessary that any of us take heed lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And I had an inspiration to sing a song, 493, Rescue the Perishing. This is a call, part of this song calls us to rescue the perishing, to be active as workers. And it also invites us, especially verse 3, to bring our feelings, our things that have been crushed by the tempter for restoration. Jesus can touch our hearts. And a heart that touched by Jesus will be wakened to kindness. Chords that were broken will vibrate once more. Why don't we stand, and Donnie, could you lead us in this song? Go ahead.